appear this week with the opening pasuk of the parsha, which is understood in a specific way. That's the way we've usually understood it, and we will discover that there are one or two basic problems that have to be confronted. Vayehi bishalach paro esawam, and it came to pass when Pharaoh sent out the people, velo nachom Elokim, and the Almighty did not lead them, derech eretz Pelishtim, by way of the land of the Philistines, ki koruvu, because it was near, ki omar Elokim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, pen yinochem ha'om, perhaps the people will change their minds, birosom milchamo, when they see war, v'shovu Mitzrayimo, and return to Mitzrayim. The way in which I have always understood the pasuk, and I'm sure many people have, is that what the pasuk is telling us is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines to Eretz Yisrael. V'lonochem Elokim, derech Eretz Pelishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't lead them by way of the land of the Philistines to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that if they will see war in that territory, they will regret that they left Mitzrayim and they will return there. There's a basic problem. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take them directly to Eretz Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has another destination in mind. Namely, Mount Sinai, to give them the Torah. So what's this? He didn't lead them to Eretz Yisrael by way of the Philistines because it's too near. He can't lead them by way of the Philistines, because he has to take them to Har Sinai. And the classic Meforesh who raises this question and who answers it is the Sephorno. And he places a completely different connotation on the entire pasuk. Vayehi bishalach, velo nochom Elokim derech eretz Pelishtim, says the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. Says the Sephorno, af al pi shehakavonahu Elokis hayisa, even though it was the divine intention, lehaulich es Yisrael lahar Sinai lekabilat Torah, to bring the Bnei Yisrael to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, umishom li Eretz Yisrael, and only then to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, ka'amoro, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Vayera, firstly, v'lokachti eschem li liyom, firstly I will take you to me as a people, i.e. Matan Torah, and then, v'heivesi eschem el ha'oretz. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring them to Har Sinai. So what's the pasuk talking about? Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, HaKavono Ato HaYisa, the intention now is, at this moment, LeHolichom LeYamsuf. We are concerned now with one specific journey, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention to bring Bnei Yisrael to the Red Sea. Asher lo hoyo derech liechod meyele, which is neither in the direction of Har Sinai, nor is it certainly in the direction of Eretz Yisroel. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to bring them to the Red Sea? Vezeh, and the purpose of that is, lehatbiyah shom es paro vechelo, to drown Pharaoh and his army in that sea. Al derech, and the idea of enticing Paro and his army to follow Bnei Yisrael to the Red Sea, at which place they will be drowned, that is similar to what we will read in our Haftorah of Parshas Bishalach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says through Devorah, Umoshachti Elecho El Nachal Kishon Es Sisra, I will entice Sisra and his army to Kishon, to the Kishon Brook, and there he will be drowned. Now, so therefore, the pasuk is going to speak to us about the route which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to bring the B'nai Yisrael to the Red Sea. Nothing to do with anything else. So now it says, V'hine HaDerech HaYosha V'HaKotzer L'Oleches MiMitzrayim L'Yam Suf, the shortest route to go from Mitzrayim to the Red Sea, Hoya Derech Eretz Pelishtim. That's what we're speaking about. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to lead us to the Red Sea so that Pharaoh would follow, he did not lead us Derech Eretz Pelishtim by way of the land of the Philistines to the Red Sea. The Omar and the Pasuk says, Shehokel Yisborach lo rotzol an chosom b'yosu aderech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to lead them by way of the land of the Philistines to the Red Sea, ki korovu, because it was near, meaning, mipenei shehoya oso aderech sofo korov l'mitzrayim, the Eretz Pelishtim, that part of the land of the Philistines, which would be directly between Mitzrayim and the Red Sea, is very near. The Yirbu Ovrei Derech Shom, and there are many people who travel on that route. Umagidim Lishom LeMitzrayim Umimitzrayim Lishom. And because there are many people who travel that route from Mitzrayim to the Red Sea by way of Derech Eretz Pelishtim, news will travel extremely fast along that way. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid. Meaning, not and when they will see war in that land of the Philistines, but rather, b'shama'om, when they will hear, she'yachin paroes atzmo lirdof achreihem im kol chelo, when the news which will travel fast because there are people who are constantly traveling along that route, when the B'nai Yisrael, only a day gone out of Mitzrayim, will hear, through the grapevine, as it were, that Paro is preparing to run after them, Yinochem ha'om b'lisofek, then the people will all of a sudden have charoto, they will regret that they ever left Mitzrayim, meyiras milchamtom, because of their fear of war, the yoshuvu l'Mitzrayim, and they will return to Egypt. Ulefikach, therefore, Kisibom el derech lo av arbo ish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the B'nai Yisrael travel to the Yam Suf, not derech Eretz Pelishtim, but by way of the wilderness where nobody travels. Derech Hamidbor Yam Suf, sheyelechu le Yam Suf, derech Hamidbor. Why? What will he achieve, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ki biyoso haderech lo yovu magidim. Mimitzrayim, because on that route there is no people who travel to bring the news that Pharaoh is getting ready to run after them. Velo yedu berefidas paro, and they won't know that Pharaoh is running after them, ad shehisigosam, until he actually is upon them. Kiyomro, as the Pasuk says later in Bishalach, vayisu v'nei Yisrael eseinehem, v'hine Mitzrayim noseya lifnei achareihem. And then it will be already in a situation where they will not have the opportunity, as it were, to return. Because Pharaoh and his army will not accept them if they just say, well, we'd like to come back with you. So here we have a most extraordinary interpretation of the pasuk. The Pasuk is not to be understood, says the Sephorno. And when Pharaoh sent out the B'nai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lead them to Eretz Yisrael by way of the Eretz Pelishtim. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't lead them to the Red Sea by way of the Eretz Pelishtim. Why not? Because since it was such a well-traveled route to the Yam Suf, Derech Eretz Pelishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that as soon as the B'nai Yisrael would hear that the Egyptians are running after them, and that news would travel extremely fast, they would immediately have charota and decide to return. But now that they are going derech Hamidbar, they will not find out until the last moment, at which time it will be impossible for them to say to the Egyptians, we would very much like to come back with you. Now what is, of course, of great interest is the fact that although this is the interpretation of the Sephorno, The majority of Meforashim, as you well know, as I pointed out at the beginning of the Shiur, are of the opinion that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that he is not leading them to Eretz Yisroel by way of the land of the Philistines. So the Shaila that we pose, therefore, comes back. According to those Meforashim, what do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not leading them to Eretz Yisroel by way of the land of the Philistines? Kikorofu, etc. He can't lead them that way, because he has to give them the Torah on Har Sinai. That's why he can't lead them Derech Eretz Pelishtim. I came across a most extraordinary statement by the Chazon Ish Zatzal, and he asks the question, Yesh lo das, when he looks at this pasuk, he asks, V'halo kvar nivchar Har Sinai l'nesinas haTorah. Mount Sinai has already been chosen on which the Torah is to be given. And if you go by way of the Philistines, you're not going to go anywhere near Har Sinai. So he writes, V'im mipnei hatam penyinochim ha'om v'hutzrach lehafibom derech hamidmor nivchar Har Sinai v'lulei zos ha'yeso ha'torah nitno lehem b'yeret yisoyah. Do you want to know why the Torah was given to Bnei Yisroel on Har Sinai and not in Eretz Yisroel, which would have been the most appropriate place for the Torah to be given? Because V'lo Nochem Elokim Derech Eretz Pelishtim Ki Korofu Ki Omar Elokim Pen Yenochem Ha'om Birosa Melchoma V'Shova Mitzvayma. Because had HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken them directly to Eretz Yisroel to give them the Torah, he would have had to take them by way of the land of the Philistines, and they would never have got to Eretz Yisrael, because they would have changed their mind when they saw war and gone back. So therefore, the opening pasuk of Parshas Beshalach is to be seen, says the Chazon Ish, and it's a big chiddush, as the reason why Har Sinai is chosen for the giving of the Torah and not Eretz Yisrael. A very, very big chiddush. Somebody once asked, appropriate to echo during these times, we've now learned the pasuk according to the majority of Meforshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to lead the Bnei Yisrael by way of the land of the Philistines, because the Bnei Yisrael might be upset when they see war, they'll have to make war with the Philistines, and they'll decide to return to Mitzrayim. So somebody once asked the Kasha, that doesn't seem to be a valid reason at all. Because in reality, when the Egyptians came to the bank of the Red Sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said through Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Yilochem Lochem, Ve'atem Tacharishun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wage a war and you just stay silent. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wage war on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, so take them by way of the land of the Philistines and wage war for them there. I would like to suggest the following answer. The same kasha that we ask, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu fought for Bnei Yisrael against the Egyptians, so why didn't he fight for Bnei Yisrael against Amalek? Why doesn't it say by Amalek, Hashem Yilochem Lochem, Vatem Tacharishun? The answer is that the destruction of Amalek is a mitzvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do your mitzvahs for you. The kasha is the kasha of the Abarbanel, and the teretz is the teretz of the Yireim. Abarbanel says, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu fight for Bnei Yisrael against Amalek? Says the Yireim, because fighting against Amalek is a mitzvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do your mitzvahs. We'll take the Yireim and we'll say exactly the same thing to our kasha. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu lead them derech Eretz Pelishtim and bring them straight into Eretz Yisrael and fight for them? The answer is, because warring against the nations who inhabit the land of the Philistines is mitzvahs kibush ha'aretz. Because the land of the Philistines is part of Eretz Yisrael. Gemara in Shabbos quite clearly indicates that. So therefore, fighting against the Philistines is a melchemes mitzvah. It's a war in conquest of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do your mitzvahs. So we would transpose the tirits of the Yireim on the kash of the Abarbanel to this particular thing. So here we have the opening pasuk. And we'll go just a little further into the Sidra. As you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Bnei Yisrael, let them turn around And then we omar paro levnei Yisrael nevuchem heim ba'aretz, sogar aleihem hamidbar. And then Paro will say, you see, the Bnei Yisrael are lost, and he'll run after them. Now we're going to move on to our first text of this evening. Posuk hei. Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim kivorachom. And Pharaoh was told that the Jewish people had fled. Vayehofeich levav paro vavodov elohom. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. Vayomru, and they said, Ma zosasinu, what have we done? Kishilachnu es Yisroel miyavdenu, that we have sent away the Jewish people from being our slaves. And here I brought a comment of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, and we will appreciate that it is chosen for its current relevance, in parts. So all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, you know what? Made a big mistake. Shouldn't have sent out the Bnei Yisrael at all. Bad decision. Says Rabbi Yaakov, L'chura tamua miyod. Apparently, this statement is a most perplexing one. V'chi shochachu kvaris hamakos. All of a sudden, Pharaoh has forgotten the plagues. But he sent the Bnei Yisrael out because he was in a good mood. Talking about friendly persuasion. I mean, he had to get the message. So what's the... So he says, Mazay Sassina, what have we done? Kishilachlu, v'chishachru kvaris hamakos ad shetemeyim heim. To the extent that they are wondering, to tow him, and they are saying in amazement to each other, Mazo Sosino? Fahalol over it, Sonom, Shiluchu es Bnei Yisrael. They didn't send the Bnei Yisrael of their own free will. Kiyemachar asolomachos, but only after 10 plagues. So what is the man talking about? Unevayer levayer b'shnei oifanim. Because you've got to remember, my friends, not only is Pharaoh saying, I'm very sorry we sent them away, but Pharaoh is getting ready to run after them. Well, I gotta tell you, I would have imagined he would be very, very ill-advised to run after them. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought 10 plagues, devastation and destruction, not only on his country, but on his people and on his own family. So I would have thought it is a very incautious move on his part. But he seems quite prepared to make it. So how come that Pharaoh can work out that maybe we shouldn't have sent them? Have a look, there's two tirutzim. Unavaya davaya mishnei yifanim. Says Rabbi Yaakov, number one. Kan gilis olonu ha-Torah. It is at this particular moment that the Torah reveals to us ad kamo koach horotzon mat'eh es ha-seichel ha-yoshar. Here the Torah reveals to us how much ambition and greed can distort a person's perception of reality. Ad she'efshar lishkoach, to the extent that a person is able to forget ma'sheroo v'yeinov lifnei shivas yomim, to the extent that he is able to forget what has happened to him and to his country 7 days prior. The gamisas haben abechor, he's forgotten the fact that his bechor has died. The chochur beno oretz, and an entire destruction of a country. Kamosha Kosov, as the pasuk says in last week's sidra, his advisors say to him, Haterem teda ki yovda Mitzrayim. How come that he has forgotten all these matters? What happened? The answer is ambition and greed. Provided the imyesh rak pesach koton v'tsar lit osbo, yavo horotzon v'yat'eh es haseichel. All a person of ambition and greed needs to have is some slight idea as to what reality might be, even though 99.99% mitigates against it, But if his ambition and greed lies in the direction of the 0.01%, that is the way he's going to interpret reality. Reality is interpreted in line with your greed and your ambition, provided you have a percent of a percent of a percent of a logical attitude to a particular situation. We explain. Now let's look. From a point of view of the Seichel HaYosher, after the 10 plagues, is it not obvious? Shekvar nochach ladas, anyone can appreciate, ki Hashem hu bal hayecholes, that the Almighty is the most powerful, umashkiach, and is involved in the world, v'shofet, and wreaks justice on the wicked. So therefore, how is Pharaoh going to say, I have a chance? I have a chance against this Jewish God. Where's the Havamina come from? The answer is, V'ator roehu. Now Pharaoh sees, Kibal sofon nishar mikol Elohei Mitzrayim. Rashi points out to us, just in these psukim, that God left one idol standing. Baal Sophon. Right? The Tohu. So Pharaoh says, you see? He can kill my firstborn. He can destroy my land. But he's not as powerful as Baal Sophon. Because Baal Sophon is still standing. Right? The Tohu. And he makes the mistake, Tihu shesogar aleihem hamidbor. You know what's happened? You know why the Bnei Yisrael are going back when they came out via the wilderness? Because Baal Sophon has them confused. Baal Sophon is on my side. And once I have Baal Sophon on my side, I'm able for everybody, even the Jewish God. But the man is stupid in the extreme. He honestly believes Baal Sophon, by the fact that it's standing, is well able for the Jewish God. He goes further, V'halo roehu, does he not see? Esamud he'onon v'esamud ho'esh, ki Hashem ho'lech lifneihem, v'yaf al pichein lo yirov v'lo yichos? He's still not afraid? V'yachakein, let's go a little further in the story, says Rav Yaakov. Kishiroe shehayom misbaka hoyo lo lachzor li'acharov. When Pharaoh saw that the sea was splitting, he should have said, Oy vey, my journey is not necessary. Let me go back quickly. Ki halo roehu bechush ki shelo kederech hatevo. Because he can see it's not natural. V'yafal pichein hu holeich achareim bayom. Nevertheless, he goes after them into the sea. Tachas hakir hanotui shel hamayim ho'om de benes. Under the overhanding wall of water, which is standing miraculously. So how come that Pharaoh thinks that he's going to be able to capture them and get out of the sea before he is drowned? The answer is, again, Eloshekan gamke nishalo pesach. Because there was a percent of a percent which was left to give him a place to make a mistake. Ki halo min ashev ruach kodim. The Torah tells us there was an east wind blowing. Ubevadai horuach osokein. Zot Pharaoh, there's no God. It happens to be a strong wind. As David the Ramban zot. Vezehu rak miritzono lehishtavid b'shishim ribu yavodim ukemoshe kosov haramban. The emes is, no sane person would honestly believe that the idol was able for God. No sane person would believe that the wind was responsible for the Red Sea dividing and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the answer is, Bederech she'odom rotzeh leilech molichenosah. Because he was greedy and ambitious, and didn't want to let go the 600,000 male slaves that used to be in his service, and good help is so hard to get. So he decided that this, in reality, was what was happening. Baal Sophon was going to run to his aid, and the east wind was going to stay there as long as he wanted it to stay. Here we have a very, very important cloud. that one's perception of reality is distorted by one's ambitions. And we only have to look nowadays what is happening. Did he honestly believe that he was going to be able to take on the Allied might? His greed to hang on to a country which contains precious oil wells, his greed distorts his perception of reality. And you see it, it's mamish exactly what is happening today, like Rabbi Yaakov says it, milo b'milo. The reality that you and I see is reality. You cannot take on the most sophisticated aircraft in the world who outnumber you 3-1 with old aircraft, half and third the number. But with ambition and with greed, your perception of reality is distorted. So therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, you want to know why it is that Paro says we should never have sent them out and we have a chance to get them back? Because he was an ambitious man and a greedy man. And because he was such a person, it distorted his perception of reality, and that is why he followed after them, and that is why he ended up in the bottom of the sea. So that's the first reason Rabbi Yaakov advances as to why, in fact, Paro pursued after the Bnei Yisrael. But now he has a more interesting, from the point of view of text, a more interesting answer to this question. Yesh lomar. The next answer that we can give it is as follows. Lefima shekosafti liel beparshas Shemos. Now this is an extremely insightful approach to the whole matter. Based on what I have mentioned in Parshas Shemos, we will understand now why Pharaoh is not afraid of running after the Bnei Yisrael. Shebiyemis, if you look into Shemos Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, you will see that in truth, Mitechilo rotzu HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheYisrael yetzu'u rak lishloshes yomim lamidbar lizboach lashem. If you remember, Moses comes to Pharaoh and says to him, I come in the name of the Almighty, and I have a big request to make. We'd like 3 days off. That's all. Derech sheloshes yomim lelech lamidbar. That's all it says in the Pasuk. That's all they want. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Paro on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 3 days? So what's going on? The answer is, let me paraphrase it because he mentions the majority of it in Parshas Shemos. In reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the 400 years are not up. Bnei Yisrael have not been in Mitzrayim for 400 years. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that if he doesn't take them out for a few days and give them a spiritual injection and give them a sense of Jewish identity in those days, they'll be lost altogether. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want them to come out before the 400 years is up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe Rabbeinu with the following request. We'd like to go out for 3 days and then we're going to come back and we are going to complete the 400 years as we should have. Through the 3-day retreat, they will be able to become strengthened in their faith. And they will be able to return to Egypt to become enslaved again. As was decreed in the Bris Ben Avesorim to Avraham Avinu. But since Pharaoh refused even to let them go for 3 days, in reality, had Pharaoh allowed the Bnei Yisrael to leave for 3 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have brought them back to Mitzrayim, and they would have filled out the next 190 years until the 400 was completed. But Pharaoh didn't want to know from 3 days. And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to have to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbi Yaakov in Parshas Shemos, now has to make the remaining 6 months by which time he has to take them out, the Ilu Lohotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to engineer it so that the next 6 months will contain qualitatively the slavery of 190 years. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to increase the intensity of the slavery of Bnei Yisrael during the last 6 months of their slavery by a factor of 380. Which is the reason why in Parshas Vo'era, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back a second time with the message, after the slavery has been increased, Tichbad Ho Avodo Aleihem, it says, Velo Shomu El Moshe, Mi Avodo Kosha, Mi Kotzerua, O Mi Avodo Kosha. Not merely that it became a little harder, it became 380 times harder. So therefore now that 6 months have passed since Pharaoh refused, the Bnei Yisrael now are gone. And there are no claims which Pharaoh has on them further. The only problem is Pharaoh doesn't know that. He thinks that all the plagues were brought upon him to encourage the Bnei Yisrael, or to encourage him to let the Bnei Yisrael go for 3 days. So therefore, now that they've been gone for 3 days, Pharaoh feels, quote-unquote, that he's kept his part of the bargain. So therefore, he is entitled to run after them now, to bring them back. And he will not alienate the Jewish God, because in reality, the only request that he ever heard from the Jewish God was to send them out for 3 days. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov goes on further. Ulefize nira lomar. Therefore it appears to me like this, Shahamitsriim Dimu, that the Egyptians imagined, Kimikivon Shemakeyu Hashem, that since the Almighty brought these plagues, Mistama Eno Makvid Alashimud, Elamishum Shiminoamilotesla Midboliovdo, Zehu Iker Hakepeda. They imagined that the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was somewhat angry with them, to say the least, is because they have not allowed the Bnei Yisrael go out for 3 days to serve him. V'lochein, therefore, now look at the way he understands the psukim. Tisha'oma paro le-Moshe v'yaharon li'acham makas b'choros. When Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron after the makas b'choros and says to them, Kumu tzu'u mitochami, get up and go out from my people, I want you out of here quickly. He didn't just say that. Hosef Gam Kain, he said to them, Ulechu ivdu es Hashem kedaverechem. And go and serve your God as you have spoken. In other words, all right, so you want to go for 3 days? Okay, I can take a hint, you can have 3 days off. Kalomar, sheposach lo petach shel charoto, Pharaoh is covering his tracks. He's saying to them, yes, go. But I understand that the only reason why you want to go is because you want to serve your God for 3 days in the wilderness. Why didn't he say explicitly, and I want you back? Because it wasn't sort of the uppermost in his mind. Because he was afraid that they'd start, you know, like all other Jews, they'd start negotiating. When do we have to come back? Do we really have to come back? Where, when? And then they'd all die before they got these Jews out of the place. V'zehu bir ha-posakan. That's the pshat of the posak here. Now they are saying, Mazos osinu kishilachnu es Yisrael mi'avdeinu. The truth of the matter is their God only wanted them to go for 3 days. We should have sent them with a military escort. We should have made sure that they went accompanied by our army, so that when the 3 days are over, we could have put pressure on them to come back. Their God wouldn't have interfered because that's all he wants. And we would have had them back again. So therefore, the second interpretation, as you can understand, is less musardic and more textually orientated, is the idea that he made the mistake, we had no right to send them away, because in reality all they wanted was 3 days. And there's a difference between giving 600,000 slaves a 3 day holiday and sending them out free. And that was the source of his error. He didn't realize that the offer of 3 days had ended 6 months ago, and the offer was not to be repeated. And therefore he ran after them, trying to bring them back, and did not understand that that was to be his undoing. So these are the two particular approaches to this particular matter. As you know, the story continues. and made the Egyptians run after the Bnei Yisrael. We move on now to one of the most interesting comments in the entire parsha of Bishalach. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So the problem is what to leave out, I have to tell you. The problem is not what to say in Parshas Bishalach. We're only a tenth of the way through the prepared shiur, but nevertheless, a little patience. Vayomer Moshe Elohom Al Tiro. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, don't be afraid. Yisyatzvu Uru'u Es Yeshua Hashem Asher Yatzvu. Bidden to return back to live in Egypt. Halachic matter which we're not going to go into at the moment. Some people say the Rambam used to sign his letters when he lived in Potsdam. I am Moshe ben Maimon, who daily transgresses three negative prohibitions against living in Egypt. That's a long story about it. Okay. So the Bnei Yisrael are afraid, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, don't be afraid. Ibn Ezra. There's some gentleman, this Ibn Ezra. Yisyatavu uru et Yeshua Hashem. See what's going on here, my friends. Tiatem lo sasu milchoma. You won't have to wage war. But you will see the salvation of the Almighty which He will do for you today. Something like Israel sitting back and watching its most intractable foe being decimated in front of its very eyes. Interesting. Okay. Says the Ibn Ezra, follow carefully please. Yesh litmoa. One has to wonder, says the Ibn Ezra. Eich yiro machane gedolo shel sheish meyos elef ish mehoro defim achrehem. How are 600,000 people afraid of 600 who are pursuing after them? They have them outnumbered by 1,000 to 1. And the prophet before said they were afraid. The lomo lo yilochmu al nafshom. Why will they not fight for their own lives? The Albanayim, and for their own children's lives. So what are they scared for? They have them outnumbered 1,000 to 1. Hateshuva, the answer. Ki hamitzriim hoyu adonim li Yisroel. The Egyptians had been their masters. Veze hador hayotzim imitzrayim, and the generation that is now coming out of Egypt, lomad minu'urov, learned from their very infancy, Lisbol ol Mitzrayim, to bear the yoke of Egypt. V'nafsho shefela, and their souls are low. They are very, very meek in the presence of their masters. The eich yuchal atoli hilochem im Adonov. How can they now turn on their masters? They haven't got the psychological frame of mind to do so. V'hoyu Yisroel nirpim, and Israel were weak. The Eino Milu Modim Limilchoma, they're not warlike. Hello Tire, can you not see? Ki Amalek Bo V'yam Muot. Amalek himself came with a few people. You think he came with an army of 600,000? The Lule Tefilas Moshe, and were it not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu davened, Hoyacholesh as Yisroel, he would have weakened Israel unbearably. Now look what he goes on to say. They can't fight against the Egyptians because a slave psychologically is incapable against fighting against his master. For Hashem Levado and the Almighty, Shehu Ose Gedolos, who wreaks wonders, Velo Niskenu Alilos, and before whom all actions are measured, Sivev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it about, Shemesu Kol Ha'om Hayotzei Mimitzrayim Hazachorim, that all those males who left Egypt died. A generation of slaves can't be a generation of free men. They're not able to take over a country. You heard? Ki ein bohem koach lihilochem bakinanim. Achetom dor achador hamidbor, until a generation that came after the generation of the wilderness arose, shelo ro golos. You know what a man is saying? Who've never seen golos, v'hoyas olahem nefesh gavoha. And they were people who had an independence of character. Kasher hiskarti b'divrei Moshe b'parshas v'yele shemos. As I have pointed out in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sidra of Shemos. Let's go straight back there. Perek Beis at the end of his comment to Pasuk Gimel. That's something, my friends. About 10 lines from the bottom of the conclusion of Ibn Ezra's comment to Apostle Gimel of Pelek Vase. Ulai Sivev Hashem Zeh. It is possible that the Almighty arranged it. Sheyigdal Moshe Beveis HaMalchus. How come Moses was brought up amongst Goyim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that Moses should be brought up in a palace. Lihiyos Nafsho Al Madrego Ho Elyona. So that he should grow up as a free man. V'derech HaLimud V'Horegilus by nature. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't grow up a slave because he has to be a leader. So he has to grow up in a palace. He can't grow up in a cave. Hallo Tireh, can you not see? Shehorag Hamitzri, that he had the strength of character to kill an Egyptian, Bavur Shehu Oseh Chomos, because he is attacking a Jew. Vahoshia Benos Midyon Mehoroim. So you want to know why Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in a palace, Epis Pasach Nisht? He grew up amongst Goyim. He had to grow up amongst Goyim, because he would have grown up amongst slaves, he would have had a slavish mentality, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born for leadership. I have to tell you, when I came across this Ibn Ezra, I reminded myself of a most unusual episode in January 1968, which I will never forget as long as I live. On that occasion, I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael. It was the World Conference of Sephardi and Ashkenazi Congregations, and it was convened under the auspices of Heichal Shlomo, rumors that we were going to start our own Sanhedrin. Anyway, around that time was Asura B'Teves. And on Asura B'Teves, we had a special kinus. And the person who spoke on that occasion was the rabbi of Buenos Aires, an elderly gentleman who'd been through the Shoah. There is a Maimah Chazal in Sukkah. Chazal say like this, a person who has not seen the Simcha Space HaShoeva has never seen Simcha in his life. Mishal Ayroh, Simcha Space HaShoeva, Lo Roh Simcha Miyomov. On that Wednesday evening, the chief rabbi of Buenos Aires said, many people have asked him, how come the Jews never stood up to the Germans, Yimach Shemo, to defend themselves? And he said like this, a person who has never seen fear on the faces of those Jews when they stood in the presence of the Nazi stormtroopers has never seen fear in his life. The next night, there was a different kinus. And Chief Rabbi Gordon, as he was then, spoke. And he was telling us about an address which he gave to the soldiers on the Shabbos before the outbreak of the Six-Day War. And he said, I was asked by the soldiers on the Shabbos, how will the war turn out? Because at the time, Nasser was saber-rattling, etc. Says Rabbi Gordon, I said to the soldiers, next Shabbos we will be by the Kesel HaMaarovi. And he concluded as follows, who has not seen joy on the faces of the Israeli soldiers when I told them that next week we will be by the Kesel HaMaarovi has never seen joy in his life. And the juxtaposition of those two statements by the chief rabbi of Buenos Aires speaking about 1939-45 and Rabbi Gordon speaking about 1967, how dor achar dor, a generation after the other generation, it left an extraordinary impression on my mind. And the Ibn Ezra, as it appears, is addressing himself to this particular topic. Of course, the Ibn Ezra comes in for great criticism because many people are suggesting that he is quarreling with Chazal, who say that they were killed because of the Meraglim, etc. But his psychological insight is very, very profound. The truth of the matter is the Rambam says exactly the same in Moreh Nevuchim. Okay. What I want to do now is to move on to one or two other items, not too many. And that is, we've just concluded where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Yiloch, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem Yilochim, Lochem V'yatim Tacharishu. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Pasuk Tesvav, Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak Eloi? Why are you davening? Interesting kasha. Ma titzak Eloi? Why are you crying to me? What I want to bring to your attention now is an answer to the question. The question that everybody raises. Is it forbidden to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's going on here? Matitzak Eloi, why are you davening? Why are you crying to me on behalf of the Jewish people? What I would like to bring to your attention this evening, my friends, is an answer to this question, which is extremely profound, which I came across in the writings of the Mira Mashkiach, Rav Yeruchim Levovitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Anish Kodosh. Very extraordinary gentleman. People who were in Mir tell me how the Bochrim used to come in and they used to stand perilously balanced on the benches to look at Rabbi Yeruchim as he gave the Shmuzin, and they used to sway up and down in the traditional fashion. They said it was something to behold. The love that they had for Rabbi Yeruchim when he was dying, the Bochrim used to stand outside his house and they used to throw straw onto the cobbles so that when the carts passed by the noise shouldn't disturb Rabbi Yeruchim. That's give you some idea what it was all about. Something very special. So he raises the question, why is tefillah inappropriate at this time? Follow carefully, please. This is not a translation from the Yiddish, as some of the Shmuzen are. This is actually written by himself on the Torah. He gave a special shir in Chumash to Chutz La'aretz Bochrim. Not Chutz La'aretz, they used to call them Icelandische Bochrim. Bochrim who came from England and elsewhere, and America. In other words, anybody outside Lithuania. Okay. Matitzak Eli, Tabir El B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael. Listen to what a man does with this. Ukvar omdu al zeh. The Mepharshim have already raised the question. Maze hatana shel matitzak Eli. What's the taina? What's the complaint by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why are you crying to me? Why are you davening? V'halo roi lahem li Yisrael ispalel. Is it not appropriate for B'nai Yisrael to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Follow, please. This is something very special. Venira, it appears to me, the answer is as follows. Ki im shemakas bechoros hoyasa hamaka hayoser noro shall call yeser hamakos. Makas bechoros was the most fearful of all the makos. Ki vo hoyasa ikar hayetziomi mitzrayim. Because it was makas bechoros which brought about the exodus from Egypt. Now what do we know about makas bechoros? Concerning it, it says, viovarti ani Hashem, on which Chazal say, ani velo maloch. Right? Avol vaday ki bekriyas yamsuf hoyagilu shchina od yosef godol mikol asher ad achshav. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down the chvod of Yatmo and Evil O'Maloch by Makas Bechoros, you can rest assured that the Gilu Yishchina by Yamsuf was even greater than it was in Mitzrayim. V'chein Omru Chazal. And our rabbis have indeed remarked, Roas or Shivchu al Hayom, Mashalo Roy Yecheskel ben Uzi v'chol Shahar Nevi'im. V'al Kriyas Yamsuf mikol Shekein Hushenem Abo an Evil O'Maloch. So if it is an evil O'Maloch in Mitzrayim, how much more so is it an evil O'Maloch in Kriyas Yamsuf? Let me tell you what Rabbi Yeruchim is after and then we'll go into it inside. When we sing in the Haggadah, Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Shaliach, what is it all about? Says Rabbi Yeruchim, I always understood Anivelo Malach to be as follows. That the miracle of Makas Bechoros was a miracle of the dimension of creation itself, at which time there were no angels. That's what Anivelo Malach means. It wasn't a miracle like other miracles. It was a miracle of the dimension of Briyas Ha'olam. That is what Ani Velo Malach means. Because Malach is part of Briyas Ha'olam. Ani Velo Malach means that Makas Bechoros is going to be a miracle of the order of Maisa Bereshis. And if Makas Bechoros is going to be a miracle of the order of Maisa Bereshis, then how much more so is the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf going to be a miracle of the order of Maisa Bereshis? At the time of Maisa Bereshis, there was no such a phenomenon as Tfilah. Rashi brings in Perek Beis in Bereshis that when the world was created and Adam Arishan was created and all that was going to eventually grow stood at the level of the ground and wouldn't grow, Adam Arishan came along and he was mispalil. And when he was mispalil, then they started to grow. So we see that Tfilah itself as a phenomenon belongs to those aspects of creation which follow Maisa Bereshis. But if you are dealing with a miracle which is of the order of Maisa Bereshis itself, Tfilah has no place. That's his cheshbon. I will read. Ki al kein omar, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say to him, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisol, speak to the b'nei Yisrael so that they may journey, ki ein lohem tzorech b'tfilah. First of all, they don't need tfilah. V'gam lo shayach klal kan kol inyan shel tfilah. You know why? Ki b'mido zu hinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu osel avado v'yeni to acher. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating now, an evil o malach, as he did at the beginning of creation. In the same way as by Maisa Bereshis there was no malach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything himself, and there was no place for tefillah, Cain b'kriyas yamsuf, lo hoyo shayach inyan shel tefillah, ki govoa mi al govoa odon, etc., etc. So therefore, if you want to know why tefillah has no place by kriyas yamsuf, it is because tefillah has no place in a miracle which is of the madrega, of the dimension of Maisa Bereshis. Because where Maisa Bereshis is concerned, as we know at the very beginning of creation, tefillah did not exist as a phenomenon. I just want, before moving on to our final offering for this evening, I just want to draw your attention to a Maimer Chazal, which Rabbi Yerucham refers to. On the Pasuk Zeh Keili V'Anvehu, the Pasuk says, the Chazal say, Ro'aso Shivcho Al Hayom, Mashal Oro Yecheskel Ben Buzi Ben Vuosov, V'chol Shiar Hanavim. The first question we have to ask, if you look in Rashi on Zeh Keili V'Anvehu, let's just open for a moment, in Oz Yashir. Pasuk Beis, Zeh Keili V'Anvehu, says Rashi, Ro'as or Shivcho al Hayom, Mashal Oro Nevim. He doesn't mention Yecheskel. Everyone asks, how do we know that it is a Shivcha who is saying this? Maybe it's a rabbi. Maybe it's a tzaddik. After all, Rashi says it's Pshat. Ro'as or Shivcha alayam. How do you know it's a Shivcha? It's a handmaiden who's saying these things. In the introduction to the Tshuvas from Reb Chaim Ivolozhin, he says something very, very elegant. Shivcha here means a geyer, a convert, as opposed to a Yehudi Miyuchos. Now, by right, if a person is extolling God, he should say, Elokei Avi, the God of my father. Because historically, God was the God of his father before he was his God. So why does it begin and say, Zeh Keili V'Anvehu, and then go on and say, Elokei Avi? It should have said Elokei Avi first. Says Reb Chaim Ivolozhin as follows. The Mishnah in Bikurim says that a geyer brings Bikurim, but he can't make the recitation in Parshas Kisavo. Why not? Because, says the Mishnah, he cannot say Asher Nishba Al Avoseinu, because he has no forefathers of the Jewish faith. Says Reb Chaim Ivolozhin, who said Zeh Keili? The people who weren't able to say Elokei Avi. Who weren't able to say Elokei Avi? The Gerim, the Erev Rav. So therefore, that's how Rashi knows that Zek Heli V'Anveyu is referring to Gerim, means Shifcha, because they weren't able to say Elokeyovi. The second Shaila that I wanted to draw your attention to is, why would the Gemara say, or the Chazal say, that a Shivcha saw by the banks of the Red Sea what Yechezkel never saw? Why pick on Yechezkel? Well, of course, the first answer that comes to mind, and it's mentioned in the Tshuvas of the Rambam, is because Yechezkel is the only prophet who prophesied in Chutz La'aretz. And the Shivcha is in Chutz La'aretz, by the banks of the Red Sea. But I came across something that I wanted to share with you this evening, which I think is masterful. And it's contained in the writings of the Shoel Umeshiv, of Yosef Shaul Natanson. Now he says like this, the reason why the Yechezkel is chosen is because of the following Maimah Chazal. Chazal elsewhere compare Yeshaya to a city dweller and Yechezkel to a villager. Why would they compare Yeshaya to a city dweller and Yechezkel to a villager? Says the Rabbi Yosef Shaul as follows. If a city dweller has an appointment, Shlomo Zogin, in the West End, there's a lot of beautiful buildings as you go from Stamford Hill to Kensington, Hyde Park, Marble Arch, large buildings, but he's used to it. So he goes straight from point A to point B. A villager has an appointment in Kensington. He comes up. He has an appointment for 3 o'clock, but he gets out of the station. Just cooked in our room. He can't get over. I've never seen more than 6 feet high. A statue. I've never seen so many things in my life. So his entire expedition, which should have led him directly to his appointment, it's taken up with distractions. Says Shoel Umeshiv, you'll notice in the prophecies of Yechezkel, Chashmal, mit wheels and here and there. He says Yeshaya saw the same things. But Yeshaya says, Voereas Hashem Yoshev al Kisei Rom Venisa. Yeshaya knows, he's so used to it, that he doesn't take any time to even describe it. It's Rangevent. He says, what is it? I'm looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have an appointment with God. Well, appointment, I got his Baruch Hu, so I'm not distracted by the various things. Everything that Yechezkel describes, he's also seen. But he's not distracted. Yechezkel is a prophet who, before he gets to the Ikar Nekuda, it's full of distractions, what we call tangential material. Now, please, you have to understand, Chas V'Sholem, we are not pogame in any kavod of any Nevi'im. What we're explaining is the levels of Nevuah. Says Rabbi Yosef Shaul, the Shivcha stood on the banks of the Red Sea. She had a right to be distracted. The mountains are standing up, they're going higher and higher all the time. There's kailas of rockim, there's noise, there's thunder. She pointed directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she says, that's the Ikar about what's going on here. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Shaul, that's why Chazal say, Ro'as or Shivcho al Ayom, Mashal Ro Yechezkel ben Buzi ben Nevuesav. Because in the same way as Yechezkel was distracted by so much, the Shivcho refused to be distracted, and she went straight. I once said to a married to a couple, Chasna, as it is in prophecy, so it is in life. There are many people who fill their homes with every tzatzke under the sun. It's full of distractions. What they used to call sedation, not security. Now they fill at least last week's luxury is today's necessity. So they fill about everything. There are other people who say no. There are substantial items, there are fundamental items, and there are optional. The problem is to distinguish between the fundamental and between the optional. That's a big challenge. As it is in prophecy, so it is in life. Okay. Let me then, in conclusion, draw your attention to a Rashi towards the end of the Parsha. Vayavo Amalek. Perek Yud Zayin. Now here again is something very special that I want to point out. We do not pay sufficient attention to Rashi, and we hardly ever quote him. So, come on and see. Vayovo Amalek. Now how did the last pasuk end? Hayesh Hashem b'girbeinu imayim. Is God amongst us or is he not? And then it says Vayovo Amalek. Rashi. Samach parsha zula mikroze. This pasuk of Hayesh Hashem b'girbeinu is followed by Vayovo Amalek. Lomar, to say to the Jew, Tomid ani beinechem, God says, I'm with you always. Umezumen lekol tzorcheichem, and I am prepared to satisfy all your needs. V'atem omrim hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, and you are questioning whether I'm amongst you. Chayechem shehakelev bo v'nosheich eschem, v'atem tzoakim elai. By your lives, the dog will come and he will bite you, and then you'll cry to me, v'teidun, and you shall know heichen ani, where am I? So Rashi is saying that the reason why al pi pshuto shel mikra, the reason why Amalek came is as a punishment because the Jewish people said Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayim. Look at the Mizrahi, Rebellion Mizrahi. So Rashi says, you know what I learned it from? From the fact that one follows the other. Vayovo Amalek follows Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayim. Now follow, please. Says the Mizrahi, V'yele Shemos Ravo, this drosha that Rashi brings of why Amalek came is Epitha Drosha B'Yalmahu. It's not to be taken too seriously. It's a nice idea, it makes for a Sabbath sermon, but it's got nothing at all to do with the pshat about why Amalek came. You should excuse me. Ki behechrech hoyo shetisomech parsha zula mikrozeh. I mean, Vayovo Amalek has to come after that, pasuk. Meyachash shnei hamaisim hayivinavidim. That's why they follow one another, because they happened in the same place. There was no water in Rafidim, and Amalek came in Rafidim. So one follows on the other. Not because of cause and effect, but one was in April, the other was in May. Abul Hatema me Rashizah. I don't understand Rashi, Zachter. Sheheiniach kol ma shedorshu besmichos kol ha-teire kula v'lai hevi b'peirusho v'rak ha-smichos she'ein shom mekomo v'levad shehu korov lepshuta shel mikra. But I don't understand Rashi. The only time that Rashi ever says, why is this parcha come beside this parcha, and he starts to give us a pshat in pshuta shel mikra, is when items are not in their chronological order. So he's got to offer a reason. So he had no reason to bring a drosha here, because there's no problem here. Zokter umar shehevi amedrish shel zeh hasmiches, zokter shehu behechra shet yisomech parsha zu lezu, lihi yisum shenehem b'mokom echad. Both of them are in the same place. So of course they've got to follow one on the other. For that you don't make a drosha. You weren't employed to make those sort of drosha. Says the Mizrahi, I'm very sorry. There is no grounds whatsoever for Rashi even to begin making a comment, because Amalek came in Rafidim, there was no water in Rafidim, and that's the reason why the two of them follow each other in the Torah. I came across a Perush on Rashi called Be'er Basode. It's from a Sephardi Gaon about 150 years ago. Look what this man does with this Rashi. Vayovo Amalek, Somach Parsha Zula Mikrozeh. Says the Be'er Basode, Izoltman and Shuldikin, he says to the Mizrahi, but you've missed the boat. Or the rabbinic equivalent. Rashi always asks, Lo monismecho parshazula parshazu. Why is the parsha of Meraglim put next to the parsha of Miriam? Why is the parsha of this put next to the parsha of that? Rashi here does not ask, why is the parsha of Amalek put next to the parsha of no water? Somach parsha zu lemikroze. Rashi is asking, why is the parsha of Amalek put next to the pasuk that precedes it? You'll say to me, so what are you after? So I'll tell you. Parsha Zula Mikroze Perish de Mikroze. What is the pasuk? Let's go back to the Chumash and then we'll join him again. Vayikro Shem Amoko Masu Marivo. And he called the name of the place Masu Marivo, means strife and quarrel. Alriv b'nei Yisrael v'al naso somis Hashem le'moray yeshu shemikivinu imayin, right? What was Rashi's kasha? Rashi's kasha was, go back to Pasuk Bey. Vayorev ha'om Yemoshe. And the people quarreled with Moses, Vayomru, and they said, Tenu lanu mayim v'nishteh, give us water that we may drink. Vayomru lehem Moshe, and Moshe said to them, Matirivoni modi, why do you quarrel with me? Matinasunes Hashem, why do you try God? Then we should have said, Vayikra Shem Hamakom, Masa Umariva. Because he's just told you that they tried God and are quarreling with Moshe. So the Pasuk Zion should have followed Pasuk Beis. Matan al Rivene Yisilvi al Naso Sumas Hashem Lemor. Look at Be'er Basode. The Mikra Zer Shel Vayikra Shem Hamakom, Masa Umariva. Lo hoyo mekomo kan. Its place is not here at the end of the entire episode. El Eliel. Its place is above. After the Pasuk Vayomer lehem Moshe matirivuni modi matin asunes Hashem miyad havelei lemar. It should have said then Vayikra Shem Hamakom maso meriva shemistome, because it's more than likely that kriyas Shem zeh hoyo miyad achar hanisoyen vahameriva velo achar shehotzi lohem mayim min atzur b'chorev, not after he brought water out. Elo shehiniach mikro zeh kan. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the Pasuk until the very end? So that the Pasuk should come directly before the Parsha of Amalek. Lehodienu, so that we should know, Lomo Nenshu Yisrael Bozeh, why Yisrael was punished. It's Somach Parshazu Lemikrozeh. Uvozeh Ozlo Le Kushis Hore Rebellio Mizrachi, Bein Tzorich Lemash Nidchaku Amaforsh. Says the Be'er Basode, there's no Lomo Nismucha Parsha Samolik Le Parsha So. Lomo Nismucha Parsha Zu Le Mikrozeh. Shows you how we have to learn every Rashi. Let me conclude, my friends, with a thought which I think is most appropriate for our gathering at this time. There is a Yerushalmi in Psochim, in Perek Hay, Perek Yud. The Yerushalmi in Psochim says that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wreaks miracles for our people, we have to sing Shira to him. So the Yerushalmi asks, so why didn't the Bnei Yisrael sing Shira when they left Egypt? And the Yerushalmi in Psochim answers, because we don't sing a Shira until the Nisim are completed, until the danger is completely averted. Says Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, that is the pshat in the Pasuk, V'ani b'chastecho botachti, I trust in your kindness, Yageli bibishu osecha, my heart will rejoice in your salvation, but oshiro l'Hashem, when will I sing to the Almighty? Ki gomal aloi, when he has completed everything that needs to be done. I think it is important to note that this Yerushalmi is one of the main reasons why Rabbi Avadya Yosef in Yabia Omer refused to sanction the recitation of Hallel either on Yom HaTzmaut or at the end of the Six-Day War, because he said that the threat from Israel's neighbors is not completely averted, and one only sings Shira when the threat is completely gone. Or Shira l'Hashem ki gomal aloi. His words were somewhat prophetic, although it comes as no surprise since the Arab countries, with the exception of Egypt, have not formally made any treaty with us. What I wanted to say is, at the moment Shira is most definitely inappropriate, because the danger has not been averted. But as I mentioned to a number of people before the commencement of the Shiur, there is a sense of relief at this particular moment in time, which we did not have, certainly not Thursday night and certainly not Friday. And we hope, in Yirtzeh Hashem, by the time that Shabbos Shira will come around, that we will be able to sing Shira over the Gemar Hanes. It's very, very difficult to know exactly what tone to to sound at this particular time. It is a time of great worry. As many of you have done, we phoned relatives, and relatives will tell you they actually heard the sound of the missiles falling. And I have to tell you, even when they call them conventional weapons, they're not made of plasticine. And it says, "Nachnisim v'niflaos," when we consider what might have been, Chas v'Sholom, there is a lot that we have to be thankful for. So we hope, Amit Hashem, that in the days to come, that we will be able to sing a proper Shira, Al Giyul Haseinu V'Al Pardus Nafshinu.